What's up? This is Keith.
Hey, this is Ari.
What's up, y'all? This is Kim.
And this is Relationship X Religion Podcast. So, I hate doing the intro. But okay. So, introducing our guest, we had him on our last episode, the Tithing episode, but we brought him back because we wanted to talk about some more things that go on in the church, which is talking about the godly friends versus having ungodly friends. But we have Dee Dee and Will still, and then we brought on another friend, which is Matt.
What's up, everybody?
You want to kind of introduce yourself a little bit?
Not really.
At least say how y'all friends,
right?
Oh, yeah. So Matt is honestly a good friend of mine. He's my my rational thinking, if that makes sense, because I'm the one that's fly by the seat of his pants. So I kind of bounce ideas off of him, and he's like, no, friend, no, don't do it. And so he's like my rational thinking. We end up going to the same church and became real good friends. And we felt like it was a good thing to have him on this episode.
Awesome.
So this week, what we have for What Has to Go, this is for friend gatherings. Which one has to go? A food gathering, shows and movies, games and activities, or music?
I'll go first. I'm keeping this food.
Right, that's what I said. Shows and movies, I don't care. But give me the food, give me the games, and give me the music. I'm good. Like, I can watch TV and movies by myself.
Mm. Yeah, movies gotta go. Are you sad by that?
Yeah. I agree. Movies can go.
Dang, all y'all foodies.
I was gonna say honestly, foodies. Music can go because I like. Because what happens most times when we get together, we watch a movie or a show. So, because nobody has anything to say.
Yeah,
that's kind of true. You have the food, watch a movie. I get it.
Maybe my friend group is different because the TV on, but we ain't listening. We ain't watching it.
Yeah,
we
talk, yeah, it's gotta go.
Very games, true. And we eat it.
Yeah.
True.
Just wasting power.
Mm-hmm. Always.
You gotta have background music, like background.
Exactly.
If you don't have something in the background, it's just awkward. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because somebody gets silent and then it's like, oh, okay. Somebody say something. Or like this, we need background. But yeah, I say food though. I don't care too much because I don't like everybody cooking. So
that's fair.
That's a good point.
But mm-hmm. At the same time, who else you going over that you don't trust they cooking?
Valid point.
You don't want to say on the podcast.
Nah. Feed the fifth.
All right, so I got one more. One has to go. I think it's gonna be a good one. So since we're on the topic of friends, I figured why not have songs that we know dealing with friends. So I only got three. I couldn't think of a fourth one. But the first one is "Friends" by Houdini.
There you go.
Okay.
The second one is "What About Your Friends" by TLC. And the third one is "Best Friend" by Brandy. So which one of those has to go?
Brandy can go.
Brandy can go.
Yeah.
Brandy can get the boot.
I love Brandy, but out of these three, sorry, sis. I listen to the other songs, but yeah.
The other two are just classics. I can't
get them. They are.
Absolutely.
Brandy doesn't pop into my head when we think of it like Friends type of song.
Yeah. She can go.
Yeah. All right, y'all, let's go ahead and get into this episode for this week. So this week, as Keith mentioned, we are talking about, you know, friendships as they relate to your godly friends, and we'll say friends that aren't so much godly, as if we can say that, not to offend. Yeah, non-believers on the line, unsure. They love God, but don't go to church.
Yeah.
those friends. So we, you know, growing, some of us have grown up in the church, some of us have not grown up in the church. Some of us have come into the church later on in life, and we've developed a community of people who, you know, we can consider, you know, godly friends if we have that. But some people don't have that. So we want to get into that conversation this week and, you know, get into what do we define as far as friendships? Like, do you define your different groups? Do you define your different friends as godly and ungodly? Do you keep them separate? So let's get into that conversation. So first question is, what do you define as godly friends?
Come on first.
I'll jump right in. Okay. So a godly friend to me is somebody that you can be transparent with, that knows your struggles. They know how far you've come, but they know where you've been. It's someone that will check you with the word, with certain principles, you know, based on your habits, your trends. You can receive being checked by them. From a good perspective. So that's what I call a godly friend. It has to be word-centered, but it has to be all of those other things.
Right. I agree.
I'll add on to that. They know where you are, or they know where you come from.
Right.
They also will push you into where you're going.
Oh, exactly.
Really good.
And like you said, Will, they should be able to correct you, but and once you, when you receive it, you know, because of the relationship that you have with them, that you know that it's from a loving place, and you know that they have your best interest in heart.
Got you.
So,
good deal.
That's good.
I mean, basically what y'all said, like that, that knowing where you are and that person understanding you, like that transparency and that, and I tell a lot of guys that I talk to, I'm like, is that, like, guys hate to hear it, but I'd be like, is that intimacy that you have with the guy? Like, you have to have that type of moment to where I understand who you are, and that I can give you my all, like everything that's on my mind, and you receive it and understand how to take it. Because after you had that intimate moment with a guy or your friend, it's one of those things where they understand how to talk to you.
Yeah.
And you understand how to receive some of those things that they say to you. So.
Yeah. It's key that they can meet you where you are. That's key.
Yeah, I agree. I think the biggest thing I took from that is like the transparency of it. Because I think a lot of times what people kind of get into, you know, this godly friendship is now you have to keep up this certain appearance.
Say it.
And when you become that person, you're not being true to who you are. And can you really call that a true friendship if you can't be real with that person?
But let's ask ourselves, how many times do we wear the mask when we're up in church and we're around people?
Talk about it.
And we can't be ourselves. So they see one side of you. I feel like Jekyll Hyde sometimes because there's a certain mask. And I'll be honest with you, real talk, we're all guilty of it. Let's be real.
Yeah. Yeah. We kind of talked about that. We had a episode in the first season called Misconceptions of a Perfect Christian. And we talked about, you know, this appearance that you have within certain communities, and you can't talk about certain things. And why is it like that? We shouldn't even be like that. We're not perfect. No one is perfect.
Let me ask a question. Does that mask take formation the closer you get to the pulpit? Mic drop.
I believe so.
To be honest, go ahead.
Let me answer.
Because what I like what y'all are saying now, because in my head, I always tell people any relationship you go into, you always start off with your representative. Right. It's not the true you. Somebody else is stepping in front of you to say, like, all right, this is me. And then slowly, as you trust people, you tend to unravel a few things. But honestly, when you get to the church, the closer you get to the pulpit, typically the more eyes are on you, the more people that you're accountable to.
Yeah.
So it's kind of natural to want to put up that front or that facade in front of people to say, hey, I'm like this. And you got, because you know you got people up under you, or people looking up to you. So I think it is pretty I think it's hard not to put that thing, to put it in front of people.
And I, you know, I'll add a little bit to that too. Growing up as a PK, you know, we always had to, you know, I felt that there was this facade, right? I'm the exception, thank you. But yeah, even at that, you know what they say about those PKs, y'all are wild, y'all are blah, blah, blah. And I get it, and probably 80% of us are. It's funny, but no. But yeah, but you always, not, and it's not a facade, but well, yeah, it is. But it's more or less like, you know, you come from this family, your dad's a pastor, you have to, you know, be in the, you can't make any mistakes. You have to, you're saved. You can't, they see the representative of your family. Right. But then as you mature, as you get older, it's like, okay, so I want to be me. I want to be real. I don't want to lead this life of deception. I want people to know that, yes, I was a sinner, but now I'm saved. And even in my salvation, I can still have fun. I can still have ungodly friends. I can still, because I'm not going to shoo away or shy away or turn away from my friends who are not saved, from my friends who may not believe the same, have the same beliefs. And that has been said about me several times, right? And one thing I pride myself in this season that I'm in is that I'm not turning away any friendships. Whether you attend my church, you don't attend my church, ungodly, godly, I'm not doing that because that's not what Christ would do.
Right. Exactly.
Right? I want to live, love, and lead like him. So he wouldn't turn away people. He went to people, he went to save people. He went to perform miracles. He went into those cities. He went to those places that he was invited, uninvited. He went to those places. And there were people there that didn't have the same beliefs.
Yeah.
By his walk, it was by his miracle. It was by the things that he did that drew them to him. So, yeah, I think it has been a struggle throughout my entire life, wearing the mask. Because to be honest and to be transparent, I've worn it. Yeah. I've worn it.
I think in some way, shape, or form, I think we all have, especially when you're trying to find your way and navigate your way through the church.
Yeah.
And trying to figure out, well, who can I be and who can't I be in front of people? Because there are people who are going to judge you and there are people who are going to, you feel like, oh, I may mislead somebody by something that I say or do when you're just being who you are. Right. And it's not to bring something bad on a church, but which side do you, who did Christ call me to be? Like, if you're not yourself, you're not being true to who God called you to be.
Right.
The hardest thing, and for me, the hardest thing is knowing what you're called to do, knowing that you walk a different walk, and knowing that I can be me anywhere except for sometimes the church. Because let me be real, the church can be a place of criticism.
Yeah.
And you can walk upright and circumspect in the world, but sometimes the church, and even though you come with the right principles, you come with everything, the church can be the most judgmental out of any of the atmospheres that you choose to attend. So,
yeah,
I'll just put that out there, being objective to everyone. Not that I'm the devil on the other side of the arm or anything, but
no, we've talked about it. We've talked about it. Actually, one of our bonus episodes, we talked about the criticism that comes with people who have committed a sin. Like, in some traditional churches where literally you had to come to the front and speak about your sin. And instead of, there's people who will sit there and say, oh, well, we forgive you, but your next minute you're sitting there talking about that person.
Right.
That hypocrites, they exist in the church, unfortunately.
And unfortunately, they exist on both sides.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. They definitely do. So then when it comes to your different friendships, do you ever feel like you can't bring your quote unquote godly friends around your other friends who aren't so godly?
All the time.
Yes, we do. And we deal with that all the time. Yeah. Because we have friends that don't share our same beliefs. We have friends who still smoke, drink, do all those things that we don't do anymore. And that is our choice, right? But we're still friends. At the end of the day, they are, we don't judge them. You know, they says, oh, you know, you know, we've had some people say, oh, you think you're better than us. Oh, you think, no, that is our choice for us to walk, to be godly and to walk on a path of righteousness. That's our choice.
Right.
Your choice is to not believe, to not share the same beliefs. That's your choice to do the things that you do, but we're still going to be your friend. Now, am I going to try to bring you to Christ? Am I going to say, hey, come to church? Yeah, I'm going to still do those things because, you know, I want you to know God, right? But am I going to throw it on thick? Probably not, because it's your walk with him.
Right.
It's your walk. It's your journey. I'm not going to shun you. I'm not going to love you any less, because we've all been there, right? We were once not unsaved. We were once sinners, right?
About three times.
Yeah. We've all been there, right? So yeah, no judgment here.
I know for me, it's weird because you just said something and maybe it triggered for me. I can bring my unsaved friends around my saved friends, but I can't take my saved friends around my unsaved friends.
Ooh,
That's good.
That's good. Mic drop right there, man.
Yeah, man.
That's a fact.
Yep.
That's a good point.
And that's real.
So break that down for people who don't understand, because you're saying from the perspective of the environment.
So it's purely about environment, because if I know I got some friends who smoke, drink, et cetera, et cetera, I can't bring my safe friends around them because they're now uncomfortable because they're around these people. If I have my safe friends doing something, I can have my unsafe friends come around and they tend to just act accordingly to whatever's going on. So they're more comfortable coming around, but the only way they don't come is they be like, nah, you around them, they too judgy. They're this and they're that. So that's the only time they won't come around is because they feel like the safe friends are going to act, you know, say something, do something, or try to like take them to the altar at that moment, versus the unsafe, you know, your unsafe friends, they chill. They do what they do. And they're like, hey, you do you, I do me, but they can adjust. We're the safe friends are the ones who seem to be the ones who
I was getting ready to challenge able you, Matt. To. Just answered it, dude.
Yeah.
You just answered it. That's the problem, man. And I don't mean to cut you out, my apologies.
No, you're good.
But that's the answer. That's the answer. We're so quick to act, be transformed. We're so quick, once our transformation is complete, to turn around and oust or judge people that may still be going through their valley, you know.
Well,
and go ahead. We ain't been out of them habits 3 minutes.
Yeah. Right. And that's the biggest thing that honestly pushes people away from God. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because they're like, okay, well, if you so close to God and you acting like this, then I don't want to have no parts of it. Yeah. Because a lot of people are based off of morals, and if they see that, it's like, no. Like, because that's the way I thought. Like, before I started getting into church, I was like, well, I can't be like that perfect dude there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't be that perfect husband that they always put up on a pedestal at church. I can't be that person that say no to everything. You know what I'm saying? Like, to go up to the top of the mountaintop and he tell me to jump. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't think that way to be like, you know what, I shouldn't. Because it's one of those things where you feel like you can't amount to what is presented. But because I suck at the whole putting up a mask thing. Like, I'm so transparent with people.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful mask.
Like, I tell people my whole life story and I'm like, yeah, but I'm here. And they be like, Keith,
whole life story.
I ain't want to know all of this about you, but it's just that I want you to know that where I'm coming from, you know what I'm saying? Especially like where I'm at now, I want you to know that I haven't been through all of this stuff before. So whatever you tell me or whatever you say, that like, it doesn't faze me.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And like, with me being with the transition I had with my friends, like, they still do what they do and they understand my walk now. Like, I didn't have to change them. They changed because they respect me.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's one of the biggest points. Like, as you go on your walk and people that are connected to you, just like, what's the whole thing? Like, people be connected to people who are going somewhere or like, or have business mindsets who are doing something. It's no different than with your walk with Christ. As people see who you are and they're kind of like, you know what? I might want to try that. I might want to see where you're at.
That's word. That's word. Right. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, exactly, which is in heaven. Because and everybody off, man. Because
you're good.
We have to let that light shine in such a way that we can go back into the places that we were delivered from.
Right.
Be accepted. And more importantly, them check themselves because of who you represent at that. So we're marshals of sorts.
And not pass judgment.
Yeah. Right. And they may say a few words, this, that, and the other, but look, we're going to let you in because we know from whence you come. Mm-hmm. And number two, we know you've changed. So certain things I'm not going to do around you.
Right.
And before you come around them, they can then see the Christ in you. And it just so happens that you're not going to get them all, but you'll get some. Yo, man, mm-hmm. Tell me about that God thing again.
Right.
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 And you know, and I have to, and I believe that, you know, God, you know, like you say, he says, come to me just as you are. I think he would appreciate better your story, Marquise, than, you know, the one or with the time in which I wore the mask, right? Because mm-hmm. you're more real. He knows us. He knows our heart. He created us, right? He'd probably look at me and be like, why are you wearing this? Why?
Right.
There's no need. And some of it can be based on tradition and how we're raised, mm-hmm. right? We're raised that we can't make any mistakes. We're raised that, mm-hmm. you know, we have to be a representative of our families, of mm-hmm. our church. And so you can't just be you. But that comes a time when you are transformed, be transformed, that you have to put off those childish things, right? Mm-hmm. Immature things to walk the right way. And in walking that, you don't have to wear the mask. You can be free.
Yeah. And that's the other big thing about it is like people think like, okay, if I'm going to do this walk, I got to change. And it's like, hey. No, you don't have to change right away. Like God wants you, like you said, he wants you how you are, like cussing, smoking, drinking, whatever, I still want you.
Yeah.
Eventually, those things won't, like, eventually you won't have the urge for those things anymore.
Won't.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you won't have the urge for the women or the drinks or just doing those type of things because because you coming to him and just, the more time you spend with God, the more he starts to diminish all of the other, the unwanted things in you.
Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. even then, it's sometimes it's not even that it's going to go away. It just will diminish.
Yeah.
Because we, you know, David, for example, he struggled with that thing for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but he was looking at that rooftop for a while.
Right.
Struggled for a long time. And a lot of times that perfectionist comes in where we're trying to wait until it's so perfect, so right. And it's just not about being, again, the image we portray of being perfect. People think they have to be perfect.
So yeah. does anybody ever feel like like they've lost their friendships because of that perfectionism?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I lost a lot of friends. I was in the world and I got saved and I lost all my friends. And I even stopped hanging around them because I wanted to stay in this vein that I thought was the right vein. I stopped listening to hip hop. I started listening to gospel, the whole nine yards. But it's so funny because I found myself back in that vein the exact time I got hurt by the church. Mm-hmm. And I had to go to those people to see if they would receive me again.
Wow.
And they, you know, they laughed. They still doing their thing. They laughed at me. Nah, dude, see, Squirrel, and I say that when I have a side thought. The world tells it like it is. I wish the saints would God up and do the same and tell people just how it is. Because the world was like, nah, you can't come back down here, dude. You left us you left us because you were called to a higher calling. Go back to your higher calling.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest things. Like when I became a leader, at one point in time, the people I used to crack jokes with and chill with and mm-hmm. just have regular conversations with, they stopped talking to me.
Right.
Like they stopped being transparent with me. They stopped just because I stepped into a leadership role. And I'm like, I'm the same person. I didn't change anything. I didn't do anything. Like, but it's the perception that
right.
when you look at people like that, it's like, oh, like you said, you're a higher calling now. So you above me, like you gave me that illusion that I'm above you. I'm not above
that's
you.
That's correct. That's it.
I'm still the same person. I'm still whatever they like. I just have a different title, but I'm still the same person. But the world, like you said, the world gives you, oh, you're a leader now, so you're above me. That means you're more holy than me. And I'm like, no, not at all. I go through the same thing you go through. It's just my gift had put me in a different situation.
But see, here's something that's so beautiful about the world, and I'm kind of twisted a little bit. The world wouldn't let me talk junk about the church.
They stopped me. That's the craziest thing, isn't it?
They stopped me cold in my tracks and say, nah, you all holier than thou. Go back to being holier than thou. We don't want to hear all that stuff about what's going on in the church. Mm-hmm. I wish the church would do the same about the world.
Oh, and you know what else, too? I just thought about this. When you said that, honestly, the phrase church hurt, I think, is the wrong phrase. You're hurt by church people.
Good
church.
Good.
Because God don't change. God don't change. The church don't really change. It's the people in the church that's doing the hurting. So when you start talking about the church, even gotta correct the unsaved person to say, eh, it ain't really the church.
So
clarify me, brother.
So off so with going opinion. Along with that, so who is it amongst your friend group? So you have this discussion, you know, you're going through as a church member. You separate from these friends. Who is it on to open that door? The friends who are not in the church, the unsaved, ungodly friends, or is it on the godly friends to open that door for you guys to reconnect?
So what I'll say is it's on both. And here's why I say it. I can feel like I want to rekindle that friendship, but they have to receive it also.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very true. Mm-hmm. I think I have not experienced where I've lost friends to the church, my unsaved friends. I guess because they've been open to actually, you know, attending services, even if they didn't feel like they were necessarily receiving much from it. But they would attend service just to, you know, accommodate me. I guess it's just maybe the type of friends that I have. I don't know. But I've never experienced where I've lost friends. So I can't say, like, for me, what I would do to open that door, or how would that door need to be open to them to receive, you know, our friendship again. Because at this point in my life, I'm not going to change who I am. I shouldn't have changed, period. But, you know, I'm not going to change who I am just to make you feel better about, you know, my walk with Christ. I am who I am. I'm called to do what I'm supposed to do. If you feel uncomfortable, we can have that conversation, but I'm not going to, you know, go backwards.
Yeah.
Right. I think,
you know,
go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know, the season that I lost a few friends was when I attended a church that, change their entire, I'm not going to say doctrine. Well, kind of. They decided to have church on Saturday instead of Sunday. And, you know, a few of my friends thought I was, you know, I thought I had joined a cult. They thought,
Seventh-day Adventist.
Yeah, Seventh-day Adventist. I mean, they were, you know, and I was like, well, listen, the Sabbath is really on a Sunday. Like, do your research, right? Sunday. But this is, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's really on Saturday. But do your research, right? And don't look at me differently because this is my choice. And what I learned about is the fact that our friendship really had expired. Mm-hmm. It wasn't so much about the church. The friendship had expired. It wasn't about what was going on. And God opened my eyes to see, you know, if you can talk about me and my choices, then what else? We have some other issues here besides that one situation, right? So I think oftentimes, like you said, Matt, it's really people, right? It's not the church. We have to look deep at people's hearts and where they are. And if they know your heart and where you are in the season and what you're dealing with. And sometimes, you know, friendships expire. Mm-hmm. I never forget, Oprah said it best. Friendships have expiration dates. We just choose to, you know, we again, hold turn a blind eye to it. Yeah, and hold on to it. And so
that's what I was going to go into. And I was going to basically say, like, people have to realize everything that we do and everything that we go through is within God's timing. So yeah. It's to a point where some of those people that left, is like, it's not your time to be around them at that, you know what I'm saying?
That's
in that
type,
that part of your life.
Yeah.
Like, you can't grow with some people in your life, but some people you may need in your life to grow with. But you got to understand, like you said, it's the timing in which is which you have that relationship. And as Christians, or as like as we do this walk, I feel like we can't fault ourselves when people walk away from us. Like, don't blame, but we blame ourselves. Like, oh man, maybe I was too pushy on this or that. And you got to understand that God is in charge of everything.
Yeah.
So even if you thought like, okay, I'm walking with this person, this is my best friend, I want them to be Christian and holy like me, blase, blase. Like, you got to understand when it's time for God to actually save them and bring them closer to him, he's going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your job to actually try and bring people to God. Like, your job is to give the word of God to them and let God do the rest. You plant the seed and let God do the rest.
Exactly.
And that, like, at that, like, we always blame ourselves. Like, oh man, we lost somebody. You ain't lose nobody.
Right.
They like honestly, I kind of felt like that when I first was doing this, and I was like, man, like, I thought I had him. He was close, but I realized, like, no, I planted that seed. And the thing is, God wanted him. Like, some people got to realize God wants that type of person to go through a little bit more, so they can do the same thing that you're doing, but they have more knowledge on it.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So do you guys ever feel like it's a burden to separate your different friends?
Because you already know. You already know what you can and can't do. So it's just like,
I mean, honestly, they separate themselves.
Yeah.
Because it's like you said, the church friends, I mean, the non-church friends don't always want to be around the church friends. Mm-hmm. So to a certain extent, they separate themselves.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
That's good.
Unfortunately. okay, so I've had a question and I lost it. Okay, with, you know, them separating themselves, you know, we've already talked about the fact that, you know, we have this facade that we put on and we carry that with us in different groups. Like, what will it take for us to change that? Like, what needs to be said to the godly friends, or those people who have completely cut out those other people in their lives, to get them to realize you should be able to be friends with different people without it changing who you are? Or what really caused you to lose that friendship? Was it that timing in which God was telling you to move? Or was it that you had this mindset that you shouldn't be around this person because you're at a different level? Like, or was it God, or was it you?
Right. So I heard this saying where they said, people come into your life for a reason, a season, and a lifetime. And once I heard that, it changed everything, because I look at friendships differently from that point. And like, I was one of the people that I hoarded friends. Like, I didn't want to lose friends. Like, no, you're my friend. You're my friend for life. Like, you're not going anywhere type. But then I was like, yeah, no. Like, I realized that some friendships ain't supposed to go with me to, I'm saying, right. Like, for like, throughout everything. And honestly, some friendships aren't meant for you, because some friendships will hold you back instead of grow you. I don't think that, well, for me, once I learned that, letting go was easier. And like, I often tell people that when they go through, oh, my friends are this and my friends are that, I tell them reason, season, lifetime. Figure out where they sit in that, where they are in that spectrum, and judge yourself accordingly.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
I think what I would say to the church to try and fix this is live on God's standard. Like, at the end of the day, if God wants you as you are, come as you are, and everything else, like, you should have that same standard. Like, I don't care what you're doing. I'm like, honestly, we could still communicate, because people know who I am. So even if you're smoking and drinking, like, people know my stature and where I stand. So just because I'm with you doesn't mean I'm doing what you're doing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
I think in that too, I think a lot of times, what Keisha said, like, God's standard, a lot of times it feels like we living on people's struggles versus God's standards.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Because if you think about it, like, because you can't be around alcohol because of your past history with alcohol, don't mean I can't be around alcohol or people who drink alcohol.
Right.
And so now I'm not telling you I'm gonna bring you with me because I know that's your struggle. If I know you as a godly friend, I'm not gonna bring you around that. But we look at the things that are easy to point out or the things that people struggle, and then we try to say, stay away from this, stay away from that. But it's like, it's not for everybody to stay away from, because sometimes they need you to be in that place because you can be the person who's actually that's representing it. Christ right. in those venues. Right.
That's so, it.
That's good.
But yeah, I think in this, like you said, like y'all said it earlier, like, keep, what did Christ do? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I think that's how you fix it. We put your eyes back on Christ. What did he do? Follow his footsteps. I think that's a simple way to say to fix it.
Yeah. I think another thing is that we have to realize we have to get rid of this holier than thou
thing
where you become so quote unquote righteous that you think that being around other people who aren't saved or being around people who are saved makes you better than somebody else to the point that you lose who you are as a person because you're so focused on this righteousness, forgetting that you may have committed a sin a few minutes ago and then but you want to call somebody out on their sins when it's not right.
Right.
And because of that, people shun away, remove themselves from people's lives, and you lose friendships that could have created something better in the kingdom to people who, with this righteous mindset, have caused people to walk away. And that's a part of the problem that I think that we as the church have to fix. I say, if you're not who you are, I mean, people can, your true friend should be able to call you out on who you are.
But here's the thing that a lot of people go through, especially when they're babes in Christ and they want to get it right and they want to have a good walk. Yeah. They emulate others that they see.
Yeah.
And sometimes the individuals that they follow aren't the individuals that, you know,
that they think they're following.
Exactly.
So that's you know, the question I have is, how do you, and we can't do it, we probably can't even answer it on this call in its entirety, but how do we make sure that babes in Christ, those that are coming into Christ from the world, from whatever their struggle is, how do we make sure that there's the right representation in their life so that their walk can be pure and they are able to pull and bring others to Christ just by their walk and transformation?
I think we kind of touched on this a little bit in one of our previous episodes. We were talking about, you know, some of the steps that you take when you're first getting into your relationship with God and the church is, one, know your word.
Cool.
And then also watch people. You literally have to see what they're saying, what they're doing, to know, like, okay, is this really who they are? Or is it, when they're with this group of people, they're going to say this, but then when they're with this group, I mean, even within the church, with this group of
people, especially in the church,
they're going to change what they're going to say. Like, if you're switching up and I can't, if I go to this person and they say, oh, well, they said this to me, oh, well, they told me this, something's not right.
Right.
Yeah. That's, you have to realize who you're around and stop trying to, part of another reason, another thing is, stop trying to emulate what you see in social media and these things that people present to us and thinking, oh, this is what I have to do in order to be right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And because people, go ahead.
No, you continue.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say another part of that too. I think when you're a babe in Christ, you think that you have to change overnight, right? That the transformation will take place so quickly. Like, you know, I'm saved. I used to drink, used to smoke, I can't do that anymore. And then you backslide, and then you go to a party, and then, you know, and then you end up having a drink. It is a continuous walk with Christ, right? And then, like you said, those things will fall off. You won't, you know, as you can mature in Christ and in your walk, you'll make the choice of like, you know what, man, I don't want to drink anymore. You know, I don't want to drink at this party. The next one, I'm not going to know. I'm not, and you will slowly, it'll fall off. Then you won't have the taste or the urge to drink anymore. And you, that's the way you kind of, you want it to happen, right? You don't want to keep backsliding because you're forcing yourself to give it up.
Right.
Just know that, you know, God, or pray to God, you know, God, please help me with this habit. You know, I want to live like you want me to live. I want to live righteousness. I want to be holy in your sight. So God, please help me with these things. And I think sometimes, and I could speak for me, you know, in college, I love to party. Yes, I would love a good drink, you know, a good alcoholic beverage or whatever. Yeah. And so, yes, I was a party girl. I party for the devil, and now I party for Jesus. And I try to do it cold turkey, right? But then I would go to a party and have another drink or have another. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna have to take this slowly. I want to make the choice whereby I let go of these things and I don't turn back to it. And that's my choice, right?
But you know what another part of that is? You know how you talked about your friends in the world and pushing them, pushing you back to the church?
Yeah.
You should be able to be transparent with your friends, as you said in the beginning, to say, hey, this is where I'm at.
Right.
This is what I'm choosing to do. I would like for you guys to hold me accountable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In this, even if they're not saved. But those good friends that you have will say, hey, didn't you say you were going to do this? Versus yeah. those friends who are going to say, oh, it's cool. Just do what you got to do.
Right.
And there are going to be friends like that because maybe they don't understand it. But you know who you should be able to go to when it's push comes to shove and you're trying to walk a certain direction regardless exactly. in any situation, regardless of its church.
And knowing who to go to is key.
Yeah,
right, that knowing which friends can hold you accountable, which friends are going to be not talking about you behind your back, that's very important.
I just keep smirking. No, I'm sorry, y'all. I just had this crazy question come in my mind. How many people, how many of y'all on this call especially, have gone to social media to learn how to shout?
Or well, Prince,
ask Marquise. Let's ask Marquise what is prancing.
See?
Because no. He calls it prancing.
Prancing.
And that's not to mix praise and dancing together.
I thought it was
crazy. Oh,
No.
I'm going with that. It's prancing.
Nope. That's not what you said before.
Oh my gosh.
Oh man.
But that's like
I'm sorry, that was a
sidebar. Yeah, I mean, it's a sidebar, but like, I mean, I got a good analogy for the bonus, but yeah, like, I get what Will's saying. Like, when I started doing this, bro, like, are people born like this to know how to do all of this?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, literally, I'm like, all right, so do I raise my hands now? Or do I, you know what I'm saying? Like, if the preacher is saying something good, do I stand up? Mm-hmm. Or do I sit down? You know what I'm saying? Like, you... And like you said before, you start to mimic people. And then like sometimes you do it and not know why you're doing it. Like, yeah. And that was me a lot of times, but then I eventually grew and started to understand why I was doing what I was doing. And understand like me getting closer to God helped me understand when I was actually feeling the presence of God versus mm-hmm. just mimicking people.
Yeah.
I mean, go ahead.
No. I was actually going to say one thing. I was always told, you know, getting back with the subject of godly friendships. I actually asked someone that question around how should I act? How should I walk? How should I do this? How should I do that? And this older deacon, right before he passed, he gave me the best words that I've ever heard. And he said, association brings about assimilation. So mm-hmm. if you don't learn how to associate yourself with the right people in your life, then you're going to imitate that life that they have. And he said, always keep that in mind when it comes not just to the world, but when it comes to Christendom as well. So I welcome any other thoughts on that.
Yeah, but that's good. That's honestly along the lines I was going to say, like, when you, like, the more you're, like pretty much, like, the same thing Marquise was saying, like, the more that you're around somebody, the more you're going to start acting like them. Because, like, when I was in college, I noticed that whenever I was hanging around my New York friends, I would start talking like New York. Ain't been New York a day in my life, but I'll be like, yo, son, dude, that was mad. Like, and they'd be looking at me like, ma'am, where you from? Midwest. We don't, you don't talk like that. But because I was around them so much, I started picking up their demeanor, their, just the way they talk, the way they act. So, just like I was saying, like, the more you are around somebody and the more you're in the presence and the more you're around the atmosphere, eventually it'll come to you.
Yeah, what I was going to say before is, like, it's not necessarily a bad thing when you're trying to learn.
Right.
Where it becomes a problem is when you're not genuine in it and you don't know who you are.
Yeah.
And you're not doing it because it's your heart posture. You're doing it because this is what you've been told, this is what you've learned from other people, and now you're doing it, you're just going through the motions.
That's
a good point.
But it is an evolution.
Yes,
you have to evolve into not just your walk itself, but, you know, actually even your transparency. You have to give yourself, as my wife tells me all the time, you have to give yourself some grace to mature in Christ. And with that, you're able to attract others just based on you being genuine instead of wearing that mask long term.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. All right, y'all. Like, y'all, I say this all the time. We could talk. Like, I really love doing this podcast because it's like, I love to talk to friends, talk to other Christians about God. But we want to hear what y'all got to say. So come see us on social media, on Facebook and IG at Relationship X Religion. And our poll questions for this week, for this episode, are: do you feel like you have unsaved friends? If you do, how do you balance the friendships with your saved friends and your unsafe friends? So let us know what y'all think. Let us know how y'all feel about that. You could also, hopefully y'all looking at us on YouTube, like, comment, and share, and subscribe. And just let us know your thoughts. Y'all could also comment on the YouTube. So
yeah. This was all.
Huh?
It's been great. You guys are awesome.
Right. Thank you.
Y'all love, man. But join us on the extra, the bonus feature, and we're going to go deep into it. But as we always say, we want you to be persuaded by religion, but fully convinced by the relationship with God. And this is Relationship X Religion Podcast.